I'm here.
We know, bitch. You're late.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, coming to you live from our new radio station, digitalstreamradio.com.
Yavol.
Got it, baby. Got it. So we're live every Monday here on digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom. I am your host. On today's show, we welcome the cast of What About Your Friends, a weekly conversational podcast of experiences as seen through the lens of queer people of color. And joining us today are their two hosts, Sharneel and Frankie. Welcome, boys, to the show.
Hey.
You can say hello.
What's going on, guys?
All right. And joining us today, as always, in studio are my amazing co-hosts, starting with the first one, who I can't even see from here right now.
Hey, y'all. It's Nick or Trish.
Shadow. And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to The Dish.
Now, Tom, you said you're our host today, but are you also our host every motherfucking day?
Every motherfucking day.
There it is.
I am so freaking hot and bothered right now.
The
Chris.
Sun is just right on you.
I'm glowing.
Sweating.
It's like you when we're at roast. The idiot. They're going to run across the street and get some Coke for you.
I'm going to need a hit like a fucking cork.
Oh, Jesus
Coke
Christ.
Needs one.
So
seriously.
So Ian just texted me and he was like, guys, shut up. You're live. We can hear you. Chris, we know you were wasted last night.
Oh, fuck. That was on there?
Yeah.
They all heard that?
Yeah, I told you. Once we hit start broadcast, it's like, forget it. It's gone.
Oh,
it's there.
I thought I wasn't here until I said good to be with you guys.
Well, we're already a little seasoned because Chris made us some amazing, an amazing cocktail.
Oh, wow.
And we're two in. It is
he
delicious,
just took his first
it?
Sip.
Mm. Wow.
So, yes.
Is that great?
So, Chris, why don't you tell us what's this amazing cocktail is and what's in it?
Well, today we're going with... Chanel, this was your request, right?
Yes.
Yes, we're going with what is called Boozy Watermelon Mint Lemonade, but we're going to go with Tommy's name, Bougie Watermelon Mint Lemonade, the vodka version. It's probably one of the best drinks I think we've had on the show so far. It's very fresh, reminds us of summer.
Makes me feel heavenly.
Yes, indeed. So this cocktail consists of fresh watermelon, cucumber, mint, and lemon juice, and we blended all that up, strained it so you get all the pulp out of it, and then you add... either rum, vodka, or tequila, or water if you want to do a non-alcoholic version, but that's stupid. But we went with vodka. You strain that, add the booze, shake it up, and you're good to go. Put a couple mint leaves in there for garnish. It's delicious.
I feel like that's way too much work.
It took me like 40 minutes to make this thing.
it required a blender.
Well, yes, this is our first blended drink.
No, because I made a watermelon cocktail once that wasn't very good. Correct, Chris?
I loved it, though.
Remember? Oh, yeah.
Sarah Taryn was actually here.
I forgot about that. I called him out on
Sarah
it.
Sarah Taryn was actually on the show, though. She, yeah. The first time she was here.
That was a while
back.
Nick was like, oh, remember when I made that? I'm like, yeah, it was terrible.
Oh, it was
sorry.
In the summer.
Whatever.
It was great.
But this one's really good. This
no, it really is delicious. And it's so what do you think, Sharneel? Did he hit it out of the park?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yay, Frankie, me. What do you think?
No, I like it. I just got to slow down because I don't want to be messy on the
you're
air.
Not driving.
Oh, they're dangerous. It's called cursive.
It's exactly, and it's fucking elegant, so welcome.
Well, you know what? I want to kick the show off. Last week, we had mentioned on our show a story about a representative from the state of Texas who had submitted a bill to her state legislature about literally fining men $100 for masturbating and making it that much harder for them to gain access to things like Viagra and et cetera, et cetera. So I didn't know what her name was, but I did get her name for everyone. Her name is Jessica Farrar, and she is a state representative for the Houston area of Texas. And basically what ended up happening was, and I quote, this is actually something that the Texas Tribune reported on, so I want to make sure that I'm quoting them right. When it comes to issues related to health, State Rep Jessica Farrar says that men should have to undergo the same unnecessary and invasive procedures that she says Texas women are subjected to under recently passed state laws. That's why the Houston Democrat last week filed the House Bill 4260, which would fine men $100 for masturbating and create a required booklet for men with medical information related to the benefits and concerns of a man seeking a vasectomy, Viagra prescriptions, or even a colonoscopy. The bill would also let doctors invoke their personal, moralistic, or religious belief in refusing to perform an elective vasectomy or prescribe Viagra, among other proposed requirements in the bill. So she knows that the bill pretty much is, you know, it's satirical. It's not going to go anywhere. But the purpose of the bill was to basically start the conversation on how men have that much power over what women can do with their own bodies and how women don't have the same power. So what do we think about that?
Well, go for her. You know what I said about it last week.
I fucking love her. She's a fucking badass.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's women should be given equal rights, and it's just bullshit. So, I mean, more power to you, bitch. Keep it up.
And I like that you use unnecessary and invasive, because that's exactly what it is.
You know? It is. It just makes no sense, and I think that, you know, she got her point across. Now she is literally in the national spotlight because of this bill. And this is going to really spark a conversation and help a lot of agencies, for example, like, you know, Planned Parenthood, which really got hit hard in Texas because their laws that they passed in Texas made it so difficult for women to even get much needed services that they had to drive sometimes 9 and 10 hours just to be able to get to an agency to be able to be seen. So, I mean, this is really going to do a lot of good for a lot of women out in the nation. And I think it's worth mentioning.
Well, it's scary nationwide because Planned Parenthood is such a good, helpful organization for the entire nation. And it's literally has the Trump administration holding them by the throat. You know, they're facing losing funding. And at that point, it's just, it's a very scary thing. You know, I know plenty of men that go to Planned Parenthood and they can go and get testing and they can supply you with education and condoms and it's...
And lube. We learned that. Lube.
Yes. Lube. What was the song that she sang yesterday, Pink Eggs and Glam?
I don't know.
With the lube it up? Oh, fuck.
I don't remember.
I can't remember what song she was that she sang, but it was awesome. So
is that our segue?
I guess so.
I mean, enough with the state of Texas women, but you know, fabulous, great job. Mm-hmm. We're cheering with you, and if you can, make sure that you support her. If you're in the Texas area, make sure that you know you stand behind this woman because she's doing great work. So yeah. That being said, we did go to Pink Eggs and Glam yesterday.
It was fucking awesome. I was literally like peeing my fucking pants and I was wearing khakis. I was afraid I'll never wear khakis there again.
I just think we need to start off the fact that last week I was very specific and I said, I only have one request, Sky. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, Sky, I love you. I said, is when you get a ticket and you seat people, you seat people and you know who I'm talking about when I say don't sit me with this person. He's like, oh, no, I completely understand.
Well, make sure
I show up, directly across from me is my ex and his boyfriend.
Well, first of all, so I sit down at the table, and our friends, Nellie and everybody else, and Barbara, who's been on the show, was sitting on the table.
And Robin.
And Robin. And all of a sudden, we all know that, you know, it's you and your Stevens. I swear to God, I can't. Anyway, so someone shows up and with their boyfriend, and I'm looking at Nellie, and I look at Barb, and I look at Robin.
Robin?
Thank you.
I was like, you got this,
and
Bill.
I said, they're not sitting here, right? Because Nick is going to fucking flip. And I'm like, you need to text Nick right now.
I have to give him a heads up. Because if Nick walks in and I haven't said anything to him, I'm going to get the fucking fire.
We're going to be dead. So anyway, so we text Nick and Nick walks in. And of course, you know, he has to sit directly.
No, he didn't walk in. He freaking like...
sashayed in.
Yeah, exactly. Right. She was in the car like mentally preparing for 5 minutes before she got here, chain smoking cigarettes, getting ready to have to deal with this.
I wish I remember what I said, too. Because I walked in and I barely looked at the two of them and I was like, are you fucking kidding
that's
me?
That's exactly how it was.
Is this for real? And my ex is just sitting there like, oh, fuck. And his boyfriend, who's a very nice guy, and actually, I think he's very attractive and I'm happy he's for cute. Them. But I feel like he doesn't get it. Like, he doesn't get that I'm, like, not comfortable in this situation. He's like, hi, Nick, how are you? And I'm like, I'm not okay. And then I was like, mimosas. No, just bring two. Just bring two.
I think the best part was, do we know the queen's name offhand?
Oh, Pissy?
Pissy, that was it, yes. Pissy I was Miles. Like, I called her Pussy and she got mad at me. Oh. It's Pissy.
Pissy Miles. Pissy.
Yes,
that's the drag queen that actually did the show.
Well,
she
the funniest
amazing.
Part about that the seating situation was when the new boyfriend, not talking shit, you're a nice guy, when the new boyfriend was stacking up the empty champagne cups,
she came
Pissy
by.
Pissy came over, grabbed Trisha's fucking mimosa, chugged it, and threw it at him, and they all just fucking went down. She's like,
You're the ex's new boyfriend?
It was fucking amazing.
It was so great.
So, have you guys ever been to a Pink Eggs and Glam at all?
Never.
Well, Pink Eggs and Glam is help me out here. I'm lost.
It's a drag brunch.
It's a drag brunch. Thank you. It's a drag brunch.
I've been invited.
Chico,
you gotta go. It was so freaking amazing. So basically you get there, you eat a little bit of food, but then you drink the rest of your calories. Because, you know, we got the bottomless mimosa thing, and you're just sitting there choking mimosas, and this fucking drag queen was hysterical.
I didn't realize they were bottomless.
Oh, honey.
Yeah.
No, there's bottomless drag queens.
That's scary.
For $20.
I totally make excuses every time, but I didn't realize the mimosas were bottomless. Now I haven't sent.
Well, it depends at the place. I will say Fornarelli's. The food wasn't that great.
Wait, this was New Haven. Though.
This was New
you
Haven.
You know, it's
Haven.
A lot. I heard something mentioned. I thought it was okay, but again, I was drinking my calories, so I was like, you know, I really didn't have. I love their meatballs; they were delicious.
But yeah, the meatballs were good. But I say, you know, it was $25 for the buffet, and I had like two meatballs and a polenta. And I'm like, that wasn't worth it. Just bring the booze.
They made something else too. They had crepes.
Crepes
of crepes.
Yeah. Filled with jelly and Nutella. Oh my God, it was so amazing.
Wasn't there like a recall on Nutella? Isn't it like recently you've discovered that Nutella is not good for you?
Is that why I'm feeling this way this morning?
Just now.
Like
Nutella's been
like 5-7 minutes. CNN right here. Yes. Brooke Baldwin. Nutella sucks. That's what it was.
Nutella's always been bad for you.
It always has. I think I'm not going to shade my mother, but I think she told me she gained like 10 pounds from her Nutella addiction. She would always put it on pretzels or on sandwiches, mm-hmm. like toast and shit. And she would always tell me, like, don't. You got to stop drinking. You got to stop eating Nutella.
You need to stop drinking.
Yes. Put the Nutella down and grab the cocktail tonight.
Exactly.
That's what it is. Drink that up.
But, I mean, those are still, you know, empty calories. They serve a better purpose, though. Just saying.
I know. I can't get drunk off of Nutella.
No, well, but, you know, I was never fond of it until I had it with crepes and ice cream. And, like, oh my God. And they have to be warm though. Like the crepes have to be warm and then the ice cream is slightly melting on it and you cut into it. And
I was like, they didn't have ice cream there yesterday. Did you bring your own?
No, they didn't. But I had it before.
Comes in with a fucking thing of Haagen-Dazs in his pocket.
Can you imagine? That shit would probably be melted a long time ago.
I know how to make crepes.
Grapes?
Crepes. Crepes.
I heard crepes.
Yeah, I know how to make grapes.
We're gonna make Nick do it next Monday.
You know what? I'm not here right now. I'm going to check out for a couple minutes. I just need to check back in with myself. Bye, y'all.
Okay. See you in a minute. No. All right. So we're done with Texas Woman. We're done with Pink Eggs and Glam.
Well, we didn't give Pissy enough. Yeah. Like, she was fucking amazing. Yeah. Okay.
Let's chime in with her.
All right. So Pissy. Let's talk about Pissy.
I fucking
love her name.
Oh, I got it. Okay, yep, go.
She ended up sitting on me, number one, and started bouncing. I thought I was going to literally fall off my chair.
She licked my face.
She started trying to rip off my hair.
And put it on me.
And yeah. she made fun of our boss. She literally walked over to Dave and Bernie, who own Partners Cafe.
Oh,
where
yeah, that was so
we
funny.
We worked there.
I worked there. Oh, yeah.
We all do. And she's like, oh, this is the rich people table. And she's like, oh, I better come over here. I get good dollars over here.
We were the less bougie side.
She made bank off of our table. I'm just letting you know.
She made bank off everybody there.
Yeah, she did.
Mm-hmm.
She had a little jar. She couldn't even stick her hand in it. But the dollars
were
falling in.
She's like, it's going to get stuck and she's going to perform.
Like a raccoon trap.
Yeah, that was the raccoon trap.
No, but the bonus out of all of this was her last performance. So, you know, the bitch can sing.
Mm-hmm.
Pissy Miles can fucking sing her ass off. She was great. She does a lot of show tunes, a lot of really clever, like, reworked songs to her liking, of course, and to her own words. Very crazy words, but they're great. But she also lip sings, and she does a lot of, like, covers. And one of the ones that she did was a, like, mix of I Will Always Love You, but it was Whitney Houston's version, and then it would cut into, like, this little girl. And then she would start screaming. And let me tell you, so we posted a video of it actually on our page, on our Gay Talk page. Go watch it. You'll pee your fucking pants.
It was, yeah, she was hilarious.
And if you can, she does a lot of shows in the city. She does shows down in the Asbury Park area. Go check her out.
I'm telling you, it was literally one of the best drag performances I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But she literally got me when she started the show with Cabaret and she was actually singing. And I was like, oh my God, she's actually good, and it's Cabaret.
She's wicked talented.
Yeah.
No, it was good. It was wicked good. She was wicked talented, witty. on point. And it needs to be mentioned that, you know what, we need more events like this. So to Sky Casper, thank you for, you know, going out there and putting your name out there and bringing these artists to come up here, because that's what they are. They truly are artists coming up and doing these type of events. And really,
we'll be back.
Oh, yeah, back. I'll totally go back.
Seriously.
What town is the other one in?
Berlin. Berlin. Because it's not Berlin.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't sure if we were going to Germany or it was in Connecticut. So it's in Berlin.
I did not hear the end of this.
Okay, just making sure it's in Berlin,
and there's another one coming up in
Berlin?
New Rochelle.
What is that?
New Rochelle, New York, and Westchester.
Oh, I was like, who's Rochelle?
Oh, Lord have mercy. No more drinks for you.
These queens are a hot mess.
No, but there's a couple of dates. You can go to our website, and if you go into the upcoming shows and events, there's a listing of all the Pink Eggs and Glam events coming up, and there's also a listing of Yearbook, which is the spring concert for the Hartford Gay Men's Chorus.
Go ahead.
We went to their Christmas event, and it was absolutely stunning. Nick and I.
Oh, yeah. That was
went.
Fun.
But now they're having their spring concert. It's coming up in April. That's also on our website. Check out that information, and we encourage that you go buy those tickets and go see them. They're amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
So I had an epiphany today.
Did you know?
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast, because I listen to podcasts all the time. Mm-hmm. And I listened obsessed. To your podcast today, too, guys. Have. It was good. It was actually really good this week.
Yes,
but you didn't plug our show. You didn't tell them that you were coming on our show this week, bitch.
I sort of kind of just saying.
You know what? I did. I will defend myself. I did, and I edited it out because I realized it would drop, and I'm like, oh, but it seems so far away. So if I tell them next week, but then I realized yesterday when we recorded that it would have been yesterday technically when they hear it. So you're right. But in my head, it made sense. Fuck. I don't know.
Thank you for fucking me.
But they're here now.
But so I was listening to a podcast today, and you know how bottoms kind of get slut-shamed a little bit?
Oh, my God.
Wait, I didn't know where that was going.
I was reading that in the note. I'm like, what the fuck does slut-shame and bottoms mean?
Well, here's the thing. Usually I update the notes, but today was fucking insane for me. Like, I was late to the podcast, and I was listening to, driving around town, picking up actors all over the place, and I was listening to podcasts, and so like I had a moment, I was like, slut shaming and bottoms, I was like, I hope that like will trigger my memory, but it probably won't. We'll see where this goes. Anyway, so bottoms always get slut shamed. Like, if you're a top and you're a slut, no one really cares or really like says anything about it, but if you're the one being penetrated, people are always like,
that dirty
fucking
bottom.
Hoe, we've all been in that hoe, you know what I mean? So
well, isn't that the same thing for women, though?
That's what I'm saying. That was my epiphany.
That's exactly
it. It's like women get called sluts if they sleep with all these people, but men don't. So tops get called, men, tops don't get slut shamed, but bottoms get slut shamed. I think that's fucking bullshit.
It's the same way.
So can I ask Trish, who slut shamed you?
No one. I heard it on a podcast today, and I thought it would be a fun topic to talk about.
It's so true. When a husband cheats on her wife, you know, that's wrong. But they don't get as much shame as if a wife cheats on her husband. She's automatically a slut. She's a whore. That's right.
But how do you know it's true, Chris? You don't even bottom.
Oh, my God.
Anymore. Dum, dum, dum.
There's all, you know, maybe there's it'll happen one day, tomorrow. I'm sure.
You know, I try to have an educated conversation, sort of educated, but it's about sex and bottoms. And then it just goes to Chris's butthole. Like,
but what about my butthole?
I don't know. Tell me about your butthole.
I mean, it is somewhat relevant to the bottom thing.
My butthole?
No, I'm not saying yours. I'm just saying the topic.
Frankie, I've never been one of those like guys that wants to take a look at his own gully, but I'm sure that it's probably in decent shape down there.
Can we take a second and talk about hole pics, too? I'm sorry.
That is disgusting. No, wait.
I'm sorry. No, I know. No. I'm going left field here. No, but a hole wants a fucking hole pic?
That's disgusting.
Someone a hole pic that looked like it went through a meat mincer. Those were your words.
That was a gif.
Dick pic is one thing. Like, that's fun. That's like, oh, a penis. But like, I don't want to look directly in a butthole when it's in front of me. Like,
but some of them are actually really cute.
Thank you.
Some of them actually are really cute.
There's
buttholes.
Nothing cute about a butthole.
Well, it
depends nothing
cute on
about looking
is.
At a butthole.
Some of them look like they can whistle like yourself like into love.
Yeah. I read a
so
book
many
one
things
time.
Are wrong about that. If a butthole starts whistling at me, the last thing I'm going to do is climb inside it. I'll tell you that, okay?
If you climb
that's
inside
called a
it,
fart.
If you climb inside a butthole, that's talent. I want to see that.
No, what I want to know is one of my exes randomly sent me that. What was that? You know the queen that did "This Boy Is a Bottom" video.
Willem.
What was the other? Yeah.
Well, there's Willem and Detox, know. And then there's what's she has a name.
Well, she did the but first let me send a whole pic. Remember that parody? Second one? Yeah. But my ex, I've never fucking bought him for this guy. And he's like, he sent me that right after it came out. He's like, oh, this made me think of you. I'm like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean? But first, let me send a whole pic. Like, what the fuck is that?
Maybe he wanted to send you a whole pic. That was just like the starter of the conversation. And then you really weren't receptive. And he was like, fuck that. I'm not sending him shit.
Like, call me. I have nothing to respond to that.
If you really want a whole pic, I'm gonna take a whole pic, but I'm gonna face tune the shit out of that. I don't like the, you know, you can face tune anything.
Every picture.
Oh wait, you could do the Snapchat filters too. Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
A little sepia on my asshole. I'll take it. Oh, you can. Yeah.
I was thinking
the dog ears.
Dog. Yeah.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
And the worst is the tongue coming out of it.
Yeah.
This just got fucking gross.
Oh my god, but it's hilarious.
It is.
I can't.
But. There is a way you can rejuvenate your butthole.
How?
Like bleach it?
Like vaginas, you can have vagina rejuvenation. Basically, it's like a plastic surgery where they make it look prettier.
Or vinegar.
If somebody...
Vinegar.
So like an IV of vinegar in your hole? Didn't Paul... Paul do that?
No, that was a procedure. They put his diaphragm back in.
Ah.
Gotcha. Look at Charnel. Charnel's like, what?
So confused. So, that was the slut that used to be on her show.
Yeah.
Burn!
Oh,
that hurt me.
Bitter? Bitter much? You heard it, Paul. First here on Gay Talk 2.0.
That's right.
Lord have mercy. Okay.
I've been kind of a C-word since I've come home from Germany. I'm not going to lie.
You are?
I'm just real. That's what it is. I'm real. I'm nice. I'm real.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. We love it. We love you, Chris. Really? Just speak your mind.
Yeah.
So, Chris, we need to move on. So tell us about your story. This is going to be completely left field.
Especially after what we were just talking about.
I feel like we're on a train right now, and those tracks are fucking broken, and like we've got shit going off left and right. This is a hot mess of the show, but I love it.
We always fucking do. So
we're always all over the place.
Of course. You know, we wouldn't have it any other way.
Welcome to the goddamn dish, bitches.
Hello.
Exactly. They know what they're getting into. We've been at this for over a year now. They know what they signed up for.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
We don't know what we signed up for, but they know.
Here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Thank you, baby.
Yabba.
We serve the dish on many dishes, and as soon as one story's done, we just break it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just give you another one.
Oh, an analogy.
Which is why there literally there is no like rhyme or reason as to why we segment from one story and go to completely left field and go into another one. It's like, you know, news people do that so well. You know, we went
they take a second and they pause. They, you know, look and they smile and they put their papers together and then they're like, they turn their bodies to look at a different camera, so you know we're switching now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they start a new story. We cannot do that.
No.
I know.
So we are just going to fucking ride those tracks.
It's so cool to see, because you're like, oh, you know, we went to the theme park last week, and it was amazing. And in other news, there was a death in here, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, and in other news, Chris. Yeah. Da, 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 da.
Exactly.
So tell us, Chris.
I did want to first point out, I've been looking at you, Frankie, every time someone says literally, from after the conversation we had in the kitchen before Easter. It's like, literally, and literally.
It's not as bad. It's not as bad because I'm not at work right now, so it's a little
every
bit
time someone said it, I've been looking at you.
Trying to see that facial expression.
See if I like, give a groan. I'm like, ugh, no. No, not
this
today.
This queen, right?
Only at work.
So.
We do have a story, and unfortunately, it's a not so happy story.
It was a happy story.
I mean, it was a very happy, but it has a kind of a sad ending. Mm-hmm. I'm sure many people have seen throughout the news and on Facebook now that the NYPD officer who made headlines for twerking at a gay pride parade, was it last year? 2015 in New York. Yeah, 2015. Unfortunately, he has passed away from his September 11th related cancer.
Aww.
So we just wanted to put the spotlight out for there. You know, he was a straight man. His name was Michael Hands. He was just keeping people safe, doing, you know, what he signed up to do, to serve and protect. And he went up and started dancing with some pride.
He wasn't
enthusiast.
Not only dancing,
yeah,
he was twerking.
He was throwing it back.
Yeah.
He was on his frisbee that day.
Yeah, it was awesome to see.
He took his I am an NYPD and I'm going to be a very happy police officer pill today.
But those are his people. He's there to serve and protect them. And
you know, and it's awesome.
Engaging with them is part of that.
And I will tell you this. I've been to New York City Pride many years and many times. And I've had some wonderful experiences. I have pictures. If I go back into my, oh, I can take these off now. Oh my God, amazing. Thank you. I had to put sunglasses on because the sun was glaring through my window. But I've been to, I have many pictures. I have albums of pictures with police officers. Like I have a whole group of police officers. They were just chilling by a guardrail. And you just, you know, hey, can I take a picture? And they're like, yeah, sure. And what an amazing group of guys. They're great. They really do. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize the work that they do and the amount of money that they make really just doesn't make any sense mm-hmm. to me. But they do really do a great job. And if you're in New York City and, you know, you see one, hey, just give them a high five because they do a lot of good work.
We always appreciate everything you do to keep us safe. And remember, they're people. Like, they're just like us. So they should be acting just like us and be... like engaging with us. So and that was
however,
really sweet.
If you start acting stupid, we'll put you in your place.
Oh yeah, well, we'll find you.
Well, you know what's really nice too about it, like when we watched When We Rise, you see how the police treated the LGBTQ community with like just hostility. And now in 2015 we look at this cop that's supporting our community and just becoming a part of it, and that is so beautiful in itself. And those little moments are those moments that make the entire community, when an ally, like a straight male cop, does something like that. Mm-hmm. Those are moments in the community where it's like a breath of fresh air, like a sigh of relief. Like, yeah.
We do have people on our side. Those moments to get you through the other 5,000 like horrible mm-hmm. moments from society that, you know, inflicted on the gay community. So, Charnel, please,
no,
go for it. Go for it, because I know you're ready.
Oh, no, I was going to judge everything everyone said. No,
please do.
I usually...
judge the shit out of her.
No, not Nick. I like Nick.
Oh.
But this is... Usually I have a very... yes, you are. Usually I have a very F the police mentality, mm-hmm. but it's always nice to see those moments of community policing where you kind of get in the... these are the trenches that everyone's really talking about. It's not so... sorry. It's not so much... you know, jumping into like drug dens and whatnot. But when you're actually protecting and serving and, you know, serving people, is sometimes actually just enjoying yourself along with them. Mm. And so when I saw that, it was one of those moments where I'm like, I'll take one of these kind of like narrative porn videos and run with it. Like, I think this makes me very happy. Like this, those are the things. Those are the, that's the, I don't know what I'm looking for. These are the things that police officers should be looking to do.
Right.
You see those videos of cops playing basketball with kids and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like,
yeah, I know it happens and we don't see enough of it because it's not sensationalized, but everyone could take something out of this man's book, you know, and it's so unfortunate that he passed away from things. And I'm going to say something that could have been avoided. I don't want to get too deep into it, but I know.
Oh, honey, we know.
There were some laws passed in Congress that did not protect first responders and whatnot. 9/11.
9/11, exactly.
This probably could have been avoided, but it's sad, but I'm glad he had his light and he shone it on us while he was here.
And he seems to have shown it. That was really nice, by the way. And according to his brother, Peter Hans, he quote said he always liked to help people. He always liked to do good. So that was, you know, really sweet. Really sweet.
Hearts up.
Don't cry, honey.
I know.
Who's tearing up? Is it you?
It was just sad. She has her moments.
I'm usually the marshmallow and I feel good about myself.
All right. So I think that we're going on the half hour mark. We should take our break. Certainly. We should go into Angels and Assholes. But before I do, as part of Angels and Assholes, before I give Trish some love, I have an audio clip that I'd like to play for all you guys because it has something to do with who we have chosen as our honorary asshole. So, Trish, before I give you love, let me play this for the listeners. It's about 3 minutes long. Bear with us, and then we'll come back and disseminate this. But this is the state senator from Connecticut addressing his constituents. Give me 1 second.
All right, Colin, I did see your hand up there if you want to.
Cool. First of all,
could you stand up? Again, name, town.
Colin Bennett from Westbrook. Art, first of all, nice to see you. Congratulations on the engagement. That's very cool. Nice to see you as well. There's a lot of issues out there. I'm glad that there's so many people here bringing up issues. First of all, Bobby, thank you for co-sponsoring, I think it's 6695,
yes.
A bill to ban what is euphemistically called gay conversion therapy, which is actually... that's a euphemism. It's gay conversion torture. So thank you so much for supporting that bill. And joining a lot of other of your Republican colleagues, including our friend from across the river, Representative Gebron,
I think Devin's on that.
Yep, absolutely. Art, where are you on this? Why are you co-signing this bill?
What bill?
The bill to ban gay conversion torture in Connecticut.
First of all, there isn't gay conversion in Connecticut.
I hope there isn't if you don't
that does because it doesn't exist. So in Connecticut doesn't exist. So Colin, you know, you can spend time focusing on problems that legislating for problems that don't exist, or you can spend time trying to fix problems like the economy, trying to balance our state budget. That's what I was elected to do. And so that's where I spend my time. We have a $1.5 billion deficit, probably bigger than that. And we have to focus on that.
Can you answer whether you're going to vote yes or no on that?
I haven't even seen the bill.
I'll say quickly on bills. I mean, they're just, and not just specifically that bill, but we are in the process of, it's all going through committees.
There's 3,000.
So just in bills in general, it has to go through the process, and then hope, you know, for that bill, obviously support.
Will you vote yes or no on it?
We can't hear these questions.
Will you vote yes or no on that bill?
I haven't seen the bill. How would I tell you I'm going to vote on a bill I haven't seen yet? And right now, honestly, it sounds like another very just bizarre misdirection. I can't. It doesn't even exist in Connecticut. So
excuse me,
I think what we need to do.
Don't have any LGBT constituents? Yeah. Because I'm one, and I also have a question about that.
You can go ahead and ask
there
your question.
There is conversion therapy nationwide, unless we.
We're in Connecticut.
I have a question for you. As a constituent and member of the LGBT community, I'm concerned about the further erosion of LGBT rights and protections at the federal level under the current administration. Maintaining these rights and protections at the state level will become even more important. Can you please confirm that you support maintaining all current rights and protections for LGBT citizens in Connecticut?
I can tell you that right now, my caucus has a plan to help improve our economy, to help grow jobs. And so,
All right, so I'm going to pause that video there. The rest of it was pretty much a whole bunch of mumbo-jumbo, people screaming, getting angry, because he really didn't want to address the fucking elephant.
He was pussy-putting around it.
So, before we jump into our asshole, does anyone want to speak to that, what we just heard on that video? It looks like Charnel has something he just wants to just let out. Let it out, baby.
I don't want to do it. No, I just think that there are so many politicians and people we elect to represent us who don't have any of our best interests at heart. And he is a prime example. Just shows up. One, he's going to get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to do what he does. Mm-hmm. And he, again, pussyfoots around everything, tap dances around everything without having to actually say anything or not actually having to have stances or beliefs or be a man of conviction. And that pisses me off so much. If you're not willing to represent the whole of the communities that you got elected to represent, then you need to step down and let someone else do your job better mm-hmm. than you. So I saw this when it was going crazy, like, what was it, a week ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was released last Wednesday.
Right. And I was like, if I was in that room, like, this is why I'm not a politician. I'm not, because I would start smacking people. He deserves it. Like, he's like, well, the economy. I'm like, nah.
But they're not talking about the economy.
No, exactly.
Like, answer the fucking question I'm putting in front of
what
you.
What he's saying is that he was dodging the questions and trying to switch the topic.
But it's not even like he was smooth about it. Like, there's some charisma involved. There's some finesse. Like, he's not even a good politician.
And, like, let's be honest here. Like, why? This is fucking Connecticut. What is it in you as a Connecticut state senator representing a very fucking blue state with a lot of publicly prominent gay figures in Connecticut, with a very strong gay community in Connecticut that stands up for what we believe in? Why would you dodge a question that's affecting the youth, potentially his children, my future children, everybody's children? This is... Conversion therapy is so terrible.
Torture.
It's torture.
Like he said.
And you
his constituents said.
It doesn't work. The only way, in some fucked up way, that maybe they will shield themselves and put themselves in the closet, lock that fucking door for the rest of their lives, because they don't want to be put through that ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not therapy. That's not changing somebody or changing how they feel or how they live their life. That's scaring the fuck out of somebody.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a reason, Trish, why he was nominated for our asshole.
I know.
Yeah, and I will say this to Senator Linares. if you're listening, or if this happens to get to your ears in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, I hope he's in the closet listening right now.
We may not have conversion therapy in Connecticut, but I can guarantee you this. What you do here will resonate across the United States of America. Our decisions that we make here, decisions that are made in states like Connecticut, in states like California, in states like Massachusetts, literally always go to the highest places in our law, like the Supreme Court. Marriage equality is a really good example of that. It has a lasting effect. So don't be an asshole, don't be a dick, and do your job. That's all we ask. So that being said, Nick,
give me some love.
I'm going to give you some love.
Thank you, boo. So, obviously, we just heard that wonderful clip. Thank you, Tommy. And then we bitched a little bit about it.
So, the following state senator, Art Linares. Thank you.
Linares.
I knew I was going to pronounce it wrong. Has been chosen to be our honorary asshole. In the audio clip you just heard, the state senator from Connecticut can be heard dodging questions of his support for all LGBTQ people. Specifically on the issue of banning conversion therapy in the state. Constituents can be heard booing the senator in disapproval for his hesitation to address the issue at the hearing. It is worth noting that after the release of this video and the pressure from social media, from his colleagues and his constituents, he co-sponsored the bill banning conversion therapy in the state. His real feelings regarding his support for the LGBTQ community may never be known, but for his inaction and his initial hesitation, we label him an asshole.
All right, I'll take it from here, baby. So, this episode, we'd like to dedicate it to none other than Xavier Emmanuel Serrano Rosado. He was 35 years old, originally from Puerto Rico. The Orlando Sentinel reported the following. He had a passion for dance. He performed many dances, which included Latin and contemporary styles. He performed under the stage name Iman Valentino. He dedicated his life, his dedication to life was his 5-year-old son, Kelvin. Friends described him as a happy and energetic person, someone whose smile radiated within any room. If you were down, he knew exactly how to cheer you up. We would like to dedicate this episode to him. Again, his name is Xavier Emmanuel Serrano Rosado. May he rest in peace. We're going to take a quick break. We'll leave you with Pulse by Melissa Etheridge. We'll be right back. Everybody's got a pulse. Who you gonna hate now? When there's no one left but you. Who are you gonna gun down? If you can't kill the truth. That it's inside of us. It's inside our blood. It's inside of Pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win, underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win, underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win, underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse. And welcome back from the break. That was Pulse by Melissa Etheridge. We've been having such a good time here.
And that was Cursive by Tommy.
Yes, it was. During the break, we ran a half a mile marathon. We did all that stuff. We jumped through hoops, used the bathroom, and we came back, and now we are back. So, ladies and gentlemen, after our break, we wanted to take this time to highlight our guest for the evening. We are proud to welcome Sharneel and Frankie, who are the host of What About Your Friends, which is a podcast, a sister podcast here out of Connecticut as well. And so, guys, welcome to the show.
I feel welcome, but really quick, I have to correct you because I've let you do it the last time I was on the show, and now it's Sharneel.
Sharneel.
I know. He keeps saying Sharneel. Sharneel.
It's okay, baby. I get corrected all the time. No, I take no offense to it. So,
good. Unless it's from me.
She couldn't pronounce Nick, so she named me Trish.
Sharneel. Okay, get it out of the way. So, okay, I have a confession. So, Chris and I were talking earlier, and so when I said, oh my God, so we have someone named Frankie coming on the show. So, did you ever watch Sister Act 2? So, and he never seen it. So I started, exactly. That was my face too.
Oh, this is why we need to have this videotape, because if you guys saw Sharneel's face, he's like, what?
So the funny thing was, so I started explaining to him that, you know, it's basically based in a Catholic school.
Is that Whoopi in there?
Whoopi Goldberg, yeah. Right. She goes into the Catholic school and she whips these boys and girls who think that this is a flyby course, or a bird course is what they call it, because they can fly right through it and, you know, they just show up at class and get an A. And she's like, not in my class, bitch. Sit the fuck down. We're making a chorus or whatever. And so every time that they used to walk into the classroom, they were beatboxing, doing whatever. And then, of course, there was one character named Frankie. And Frankie would walk in and be like, hey, Frankie. So I wanted to actually get the fucking clip and play it when I introduced your name, but I didn't have time. So.
Oh, it's okay.
That was the reenactment was perfect.
It was. Again, we need to be here.
And, you know, a lot of people don't realize Lauryn Hill was in that movie. Right. Oh, God. Monica?
No.
Was it Monica? Who was the other singer that was in there?
No. Is there another famous singer?
Monica in Sister Act?
I think you're lying to them.
All right. I'm IMDb.
Please. Mm-hmm. No, I know that Lauryn Hill was in it.
Well, right.
And the girl that sang with her.
Jennifer Love Hewitt was in it.
No.
Yes, she was.
But the other girl, the other black girl that sang with her on the piano when the little white nun.
The sparrow.
Yes. So let me tell you, when I heard that song, I was just like, wow, Lauryn Hill's just the most absolutely gifted vocalist that I have ever heard in my life.
When she shows up.
There is Beyonce.
There's two things wrong with that. One, Lauryn Hill doesn't show up anymore, like Frankie said.
Sorry. It doesn't take away from the fact
but
that,
she's,
you know,
phenomenally talented.
She is.
I can
she is
never
gifted.
Take anything away from
when you think, when you look at an album like The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill,
and for that to be her only album and us to keep referencing
but
it all
that
the time,
album,
it's amazing.
Won 7 Grammys.
She's phenomenal. Okay, I'm not taking anything away from her as an artist. She's
you know, she was one of the first females to do it that big, and she was awesome. I fucking love that album.
Fucking hats Kidding off.
Me? You know, this next verse is dedicated to the ladies. I fucking love that song. Yeah, that thing.
Come on, vocals.
So I'm waiting. Hey. No, but I can't remember. I thought it was Monica. Could be, or maybe
Monica Calhoun.
Right? She had the "Can I talk to your manager?" haircut. I remember that.
So it was Monica.
I don't know. Yeah.
No, but I know that there were two really good singers. They were all amazing. There was a lot of singers in that. But anyway, that's what I had planned. It just didn't work out. Frank K.
You get the greater intro.
Guys, welcome to the show. Talk to us about What About Your Friends. Tell us.
Ask me a question.
Oh, ask you a question. Nick, go.
Ask me a question, I'll give you an answer.
That's how I feel.
Okay.
That's how we feel.
Well, so the name of your show. Mm-hmm. Did we talk about this last time you were on the show? I don't think so. I thought you talked off air about it.
I think we talked
off air. Okay, so I'm going to preface it a little bit. So he wanted to do this for a while, correct?
Yes.
But you couldn't figure out what to call it.
No.
So how did you find the name and why?
Okay, so I'll go.
Yeah, you thought of the title, so this
I was
is your story.
To Frankie, then I realized it was my fault. So you're right. I was thinking about it for like 3 or 4 months, and I couldn't. I wanted it to be something about intersectionality. I wanted it to be like it's got to be black and queer, brown and queer. I wanted that to be reflected in the title, but nothing was catchy enough. And I was sitting in my bedroom, or maybe I was in the car. I think it was in the car. And on my shuffle, TLC's What About Your Friends came on. What about your friends?
Another amazing album.
Yes.
Wasn't this the album they were wearing condoms for, like, on their glasses, or was that the one before that?
Yeah, yeah. That was the album.
Yeah, it was like, ooh, on the TLC. TLC.
Yes, that was their first one.
Yeah, so it came up, and I realized, I was like, are they going to be around, blah, blah, blah. And so in my head, I was thinking, yeah, so when I make decisions, I do think about that stuff. I think about, like, yeah, what about my fucking friends, man? Like, how would my decisions affect my friends? And so going forward, like, how will it affect people who are different than you? People who aren't straight, people who are gay, but people who are gay and, you know, Asian, people who are gay and black, people who are gay and Muslim. So it just fit. And I Googled it. I was like, are there any other podcasts with this name? Because yep. I want it now. So immediately I texted Frankie and said, podcast name is What About Your Friends? We're recording next week.
That's amazing. That's a great story.
We
were
so.
Just like, what, gay talk? Like, gay talk 2.0.
But you know what? It stuck.
Oh, definitely stuck.
Yeah, it stuck.
Can I ask why 2.0 though? I've always wanted to ask that.
Well,
question.
there's Gay Talk Radio, there's Gay Talk something else. If you type in Gay Talk in iTunes, there's a whole bunch of things that reference Gay Talk. And so I said, you know what? We're a reboot. We're gonna be crazy, we're gonna be ostentatious, we're gonna be
drunk.
Crass, drunk, we're gonna be
that thesaurus, bitch. You said ostentatious. Come on.
I didn't even buy it for you. We're
yet.
Just gonna be crazy.
This and vocabulary.
So to me, it was I was like, all right, we need a reboot. But we still wanted to have it be Gay Talk, because essentially that's all we do. We talk about a lot of the things that go on in our community, whether they're funny, whether they're sad, whether we're being bitchy about it. But, you know, we're honest and we just throw it out there. And initially our decision was to, hey, listen, we're four friends. We're all going to sit here, have cocktails, drink, and just talk. And whoever listens, listens. And whoever doesn't, no biggie. We still do it anyway.
Yeah.
And it fucking took off.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're sitting here and we're having other fellow podcasts. That's the biggest thing. Nick said it best when he says that this opened up an opportunity for us to meet fellow brothers and sisters in our community of podcasting, and which is why we're super ecstatic that you guys are here, because it's always great to have people who understand what we do come on the show and talk about, even if it's their own show.
Yeah.
And we want to share back. Like, when we came on the show for the first time, when we started recording,
just over a year ago,
the Idiots Radio embraced us, and they're another podcast based out of New Jersey. They had us on their show, and that was super big for us. That was amazing. It was an amazing opportunity, and we remember how we felt. And so when we see someone starting out, we want to do that. We want to be able to say, hey guys, come on the show, talk, tell us what you're all about, and encourage our listeners to listen and look for you guys, and hopefully you guys can pass that along to someone else.
And just build a community. I think it's important that fellow podcasters, we all work together and talk together, because we're all listening and taking and learning, and that's part of what it is, and that's part of what we do. We're giving crazy info out or whatever it is, but we just want to work together and be a community.
And at the end of the day, you know, we want to reach out to the community, embrace the community, bring them together, teach, learn from them. Like, that's where we all have the same common goals.
And I have to tell you, I listened to What About Your Friends at work when you guys released it. And I've learned so much from your perspective on life, because you're a black man, and you have a very unique
spin. He is, I can second that.
I was like, don't tell anybody. Oh,
who told you?
Honey, he is dark. He is very dark. And if the lights were out in here, he would literally have to smile.
It's so his face. Is
you're like, but wait. Let me finish. He is super cute. And that smile.
There you go. You saved yourself.
It's fucking amazing.
But can I just, so,
what do
you
do?
Go
what
on,
what
I
do
just,
you do with that smile? What do you, how do you get it so white?
Facetune?
I floss.
I brush. No, I think what's really important to know about your podcast, though, is you saw a need for something in the community.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think that's what's so special and strong about your show. And I would love if you two could speak to what that need is.
Frankie, do you want to touch that first?
Well, I'll add a little bit to it, because when Charnel, you know, first approached me with the idea, I was all here for it. I was like, yeah, let's do it, because it's not the typical YouTube channel. It's not the typical, you know, let's just get on YouTube and just have a conversation. Like, podcast is a little bit of a different audience, different people listen. And we've met many people along the way that, you know, they've had us on their show, and we've had a couple people come on our show as well. But just the fact that we're two, you know, men of color, and also
of the LGBT community. And, you know, we have different experiences, but we still share a lot of the same things. And a lot of it is real honest. A lot of it's, you know, raw. Like, we're not putting on a front. We're not, you know, turning up our personalities to the max. Like, we're just, when you guys listen to us, you know, it's just a regular conversation.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's one of the reasons why I did it. I didn't want to, you know, feel like an actor. I didn't want to have to feel like, you know, I was outside myself when I was recording with Charnel, because I've known Charnel for over, what, 10 years? And he's always been one of the most honest friends that I've had.
I heard your ode to him the other day on your podcast.
He didn't like it because it was unexpected.
You better not edit this out.
I know. I was thinking it too. I was like, if he edits this out, I'm going to be so pissed.
I'll tell you, one of my favorite episodes was the mortician that you guys had come on.
That was awesome.
You had a fucking mortician on the show?
Yeah, he did.
I did not hear that.
Professional term is
I did not hear that one.
Funeral director.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Victor is amazing. I met Victor because
his name would be Victor. That's such a mortician's name.
Victor Rubio. And it sounds very... No, he's great. And I found him because I watched a show called 6 Feet Under, which is old school, if you guys know what that is, HBO. Mm-hmm. And it crossed a lot of lines and pushed a lot of boundaries for it to be 2001. Absolutely. And I started watching with a friend of mine as a way to get closer, like, because we missed each other. And he saw me tweeting about it one day and said, hey, would you like to be a guest? And that's how we connected. Just became friends after that. We talk almost every, like, two or three times a week. He's just an awesome guy.
He does
have the inside scoop. So I'm always, like, I'm into, like, the morbid, nitty-gritty stuff. I'm like, oh, what do they do? What is skin slip? Tell me all about that.
So it turns into Dexter, like, in 3 seconds. It is.
I love that. I love that awesome. Morbid shit. So he's good for that. So it's nice to have friends all over the place. What about your friends?
There it is.
Yeah, he was cool. Shout out to Victor.
I don't mean to divert the convo, but I want to go back to what we were talking about because I don't feel like it got enough love. I feel like I just feel like your podcast, like you say, it's from the lens of queer people of color. Yes. And I think that's so important because there's so many layers. Being LGBTQ white male, yes, I've dealt with people coming at me for being gay, but I've never dealt with people coming at me for being gay and then racism on top of that. So I think that you being able to speak to all of those challenges and what it means to be an LGBTQ member in a different community as well is very important for our community to hear. And so that's why this podcast to me is so special.
You're sweet.
Thank you.
You're always. No, so
Trish, you're not getting laid tonight. I'm just letting you know.
Ian would cut my dick off.
I know.
You got a whole man somewhere in the area. Go find him.
I should take a picture.
I love that phrase.
Oh, you should. Make him think things.
Make him think things.
I'm all about the rumors. Is that Lindsay Lohan? Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Antiquated sentence. So, no. I do think you're right. So, one of the reasons why I really wanted to start a podcast was because I saw everyone having a lot of conversations on Facebook. And having conversations in the comment section doesn't really help because you can't hear tone. You can't see body language. You can't stop people like, no, that's not what I meant. You have to wait and wait. And while you're waiting, you're preparing your response without really waiting for them, their response. So, one, I want to take conversations off Facebook and actually have them with my friend so we can actually be real, raw, and open. But you're right. One of the things I usually dealt with was that being Black, I faced a lot of, I don't want to call it opposition, but it was called opposition when I first came out and I was trying to traverse the dating scene. And it wasn't until somebody told me, I asked him where he got his shirt. And his response was, sorry, not into Black dudes. And I said, well, that's not what I asked you. I asked you to be sure.
Right.
He was, dude, why are you still persisting? Like, I was like, excuse me. And so I was like, me being brown in a space that I felt that I was, I was part of this community, I felt excluded right away.
What service was this on?
This was Grindr. And the man who said this is a bartender in New Haven, but I'm not going to say who it is.
Man. Oh,
it was Trish.
But no, I would remember and I would call you out. Oh,
yeah. Like, surprise, bitch.
He's a very close friend of a friend's boyfriend. And if they're listening, they know who I'm talking about.
But he's like,
so
I'm
a dick. It was that. And then when the marriage equality thing came out, when the Supreme Court decision came out, I had a lot of the Christian community, because I am a somewhat practicing Christian, we're talking about, you know, how gays are going too far and they're sending the country down the hellhole. And then there was a lot of the less melanated white gays who were talking about Black people, the Black Christians who were talking out about the marriage decision, saying, well, you should understand because you know what it's like not to have rights. And there were all these lines that I felt like I couldn't go to the gay community because they didn't want me because I was brown. I couldn't go to the Christians because they didn't want me because I was gay. So I felt like I was on this island. Okay. And I couldn't have those conversations like authentically on Facebook. So all these experiences coming forward, I said, you know what? I'm going to create a space where I can have these conversations. And if you want to listen to me and my friend talk about these things, you're more than welcome. And then give us feedback.
That's incredible. That's a perspective I never, never thought of.
Right. Right.
But you're correct. Yeah. You're
absolutely right. It's the watermelon vodka, whatever this is. I was like, you're absolutely right. This is
yes.
Wait, is there a name for this?
Yeah, I sent it.
A bougie watermelon
mint
lemonade.
There we go.
Cooler. Lemonade.
It's really boozy, but I thought bougie sounds better.
No, he just read boozy wrong. Yes,
yes. Fuck her.
Oh, no, she did it.
I'll give Tom, you know what? I'll just say you thought it sounded better. I think it sounds better, too.
Boozy it does sound better.
Boozy sounds stupid. It's a liquor. We
I was
know
reading
what it,
is. It. I'm just thank like, yeah, you, it Charnel. Says boozy, but we'll go with bougie.
Bad and bougie.
Thank you, Charnel.
But you know what's, too, what's really interesting? I know I keep going back to like the topic. Sorry, guys. But, so I was listening to your podcast this week, and you guys were talking about, I guess, for lack of a better term, discrimination in work, the workplace or wherever it may be. But things that I potentially would say jokingly or whatever that could come off in certain ways. And I feel like I'm learning from your podcast, because honestly, there's a lot of shit that I've said and done in the past that was just flippant and what I thought was funny, or I was joking around with my friends, that could really be taken a certain way. Whether it's like what you said something on the podcast, Frankie, I'm talking to Frankie now. You said something on your podcast about coming out of the bathroom and somebody had said something.
Yeah.
And then you just like, no. You didn't put her in her place, but you just made her realize what she had done. And I thought how you did it was beautiful.
Thank
honestly.
You. I try to give her a chance to correct herself.
Wait, hold on. Debbie?
Dumbass Debbie.
Dumbass Debbie.
That's not her name, but I gave her that name. They didn't want to say her real name.
Yeah.
They didn't want to give her that much attention, even though she craves it.
Exactly.
But, wait, hold on.
One more time.
Wait, what'd you say?
Dumbass
Debbie.
Thank you. He just
like,
rewound.
You gotta film. Yeah. You gotta film on the sound effects ahead of time. Sorry.
Poor Debbie.
I just wanted to hear that one more time. It was dumbass Debbie. That's awesome.
No, I try to give her a chance to correct herself, because you know we talked about it on the show where people give the excuse where you know they're young, they're ignorant, but and I told her, I said, you know, me being the only out person in my place of work, I've felt a sense of responsibility where it's like, you're not going to talk to my friends a certain way. You're not going to talk to me, you know, a certain way and think it's okay just because you're young, or you think, you know, because we clock in on the same, you know, machine that, you know, it's all good and it's all sunsets and gummy bears that you can just speak to me like that without me checking you.
What exactly was it that she said?
Okay, so I walked out the bathroom and I heard her, you know, just kind of like being all lovey-dovey with her boyfriend, and she got off the phone. She looked at me. She goes, oh, I'm so sorry. You had to hear all my gayness. And so I was like, you're what?
What?
And she was like, oh, my cuteness, like, you know, like my lovely doveyness, my boyfriend. I was like, that's not what you said. And she was like, oh, you're right. I didn't say that. Oh, Jesus.
But it's moments like that. It's like that. It's that moment. Jesus. It's like.
Well, at least she realized, oh, shit. I just dug myself really deep.
She knew
deep.
Because I try to give her a chance to correct herself.
Mm-hmm. But she's trying to avoid it. And you're just straight up, no, that's you said it. And that's
exactly.
not okay.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what you just got to go. Face forward with it. I mean, that's the only way you're going to really affect somebody.
Right.
So let me ask you now. So now this happened. You had that conversation with her. You put her in her place. How are things now?
Terrible.
Whisper.
You know, so I'm so sorry. No, they are terrible. Just because, I think, did we talk about it on the last episode? Oh, no, I think I had texted you. I texted you another situation. It was the same girl, same dumbass Debbie. She was talking to one of my good friends who is of color. There's like three people of color and I'm one of them where I work. And she asked him if he feels, what did she say? She said, do you stick out like a sore thumb when you go to country concerts? And she wasn't talking to me, but I turned around because she's talking to my friend. And I was like, what did you just ask him? She goes, I'm just saying, because like when I go there, I don't see many people of color. And I'm just looking at her. I looked at my friend like, this is your turn. I've had my talk with her. And if you don't say something to her, then I'm either just going to get this bitch fired or I'm going to make her cry. But
did he say something?
What kind of question even is that?
What made you think that? Because you look like you're ready to just rip someone's head off at that point.
I had texted him and, like, just because I wanted to lose my mind. Of course, I talked to my friend about it and I was pissed off. And he was like, you can't give into it. I was like, no, I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of this shit.
But that's not giving in. That's addressing a situation.
Well,
right?
If you don't address it, things aren't going to get better.
But sometimes when you do address something and you're under like that duress or that stress, you end up losing sometimes most in corporate America because they'll look at you and be like, well, you started this.
Right. We don't need another angry black man.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I work in corporate America and I work in an office building and I know how difficult it is for you to walk into a bathroom full of men. And I work in an environment in where men are very manly men. I mean, these are men that climb poles. And
but wasn't the same for the gay strippers who are climbing
poles.
The
there's no pun in that. Literally, I work for a power company and they climb poles and they string up lights and power lines. And so these are very manly men. And there's nothing worse. There's no worse feeling than you walking into the bathroom and going to a urinal and instantly four men walk out of the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. No, that I understand that.
It's horrible. So I know how you feel to an extent, to have someone say stupid shit and they have no idea what it is that you go, what shoes you walk in. Mm-hmm. Where do you go? How do you walk in life? Yet she feels the need to make some sort of stupid remark or a joke and think that it's lighthearted. Ha ha, oh no, I didn't mean that. You know, fuck you. Fuck you with a donkey dick. No, that's all I can say.
I totally get that because even at work for me, when I'm at the restaurant, I'm the only gay person there. So even when, you know, if another male employee is standing there and I look down to the coffee cups, but it might look like I'm looking at his ass, like I go out of my fucking way to avoid anything like me flirting or checking them out. And I think they're starting to catch on. They're like, Chris,
I stare at the fucking wall.
Just like, yeah, don't look, don't look, don't look.
Because then, you know, I start thinking about, okay, what is the conversation what I'm going to have?
I'm like, no, I'm sorry. You take me for what I am, honey. If I'm looking at you, it's because I want to look at you. And I'm sorry, but it happened.
But and it's
your
gonna
eyes
keep
drift
happening.
On a tit, my eyes are going to drift wherever they're going to drift. And if they're drifting, you should take it as a compliment and walk away.
You work in an environment that lends itself to that type of...
That's true also.
That's true, but
you work in a theater.
I haven't always worked
for Greeks.
In a theater.
No, but the thing is, like, for example, I keep thinking to myself when I walk out of that bathroom, okay, so if something happened and I had to get boisterous and say, you know, say something, how am I going to explain that in HR? And then when I have that conversation, I'm sitting there with that little old lady in the HR room and she's asking me, okay, well, what happened? Well, you know that I'm gay and you know that I walked into the bathroom and they all walked out because I'm gay. How do you think that's going to work out?
I will say something.
I will answer that.
Only because I am Frankie's like correction coach, because anyone who knows me knows I'm very outspoken. And the first thing I always say is, well, is this the sword you want to fall on? Like, is this really, is this the battle you want to fight? Because I pick mine very well, because I know that I will curse people out and send you run into your mom's quick. So what I do is I will say, okay, this is worth correcting someone on because they need to know better. Right. So if I had to, and I told Frankie this, we edited it out. Because it was a long, like, 25-minute friend-to-friend conversation.
Yeah, we did.
But you have to say, okay, this is the hill I want to die on. I've decided it. How do I go forward? You correct them immediately. You don't wait. You don't sleep on it. You don't go home. You don't go home over a weekend and come back and say, you know what you said? Because they've already slept over. Yeah. They're done.
Exactly.
They're not even thinking about it.
They forgot it happened. Sorry. They forgot it happened.
And then you're going to overthink it yourself. Yeah.
Absolutely. So what you want to do is you want to correct them. And as soon as you correct them, you go to that, you go to your supervisor, you go to anyone who's above you, and you say, you know what? You don't give yourself away. You don't say, you know what? You know I'm gay, because that says I take guilt. I take fault in this.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I'm not taking fault or guilt.
That's what it sounds like to them. I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but they say, like, I'm the problem here. What you say is, like, you know what? These people are reacting to me the wrong way. So I usually be very ambiguous. I say, I think it would behoove everybody in the department, in the company, if we had a sensitivity training, because I felt uncomfortable in the bathroom when all the men stared at me and watched me walk in and walked out once I came in, because it made me feel like I am not good enough, or I'm not protected, or I'm not liked here. And that's going to decrease my morale and decrease my productivity here as a worker. And I think everyone deserves to feel safe here. I spend most of my waking hours in this building. You should be willing to protect me as well.
The Lord knows it's true.
Holy
so
fuck.
That's what I do.
Insightful son of a bitch.
That was
and that's the way to do it. That's the easiest way to do it. That way you don't go on like, well, you know, I'm gay. And because right away they're going to be like, well, you know, you are gay and you're in a bathroom. Dicks are out. They should be afraid.
Yeah, right.
Don't
exactly.
give them
yeah,
that.
You don't want to give them any kind of ammunition.
Don't give them
right,
the exactly. narrative.
Well, you know, the truth is they should.
No, I have a work.
That's why they walk out when you walk in.
No, but you don't understand. When I'm at work, I'm a completely different person. What you hear now and what I am at work, when I go at work, I'm not at work to express my gayness and make sure that everybody knows that my rainbow is shining from sea to shining sea, from one side of the building to the other. I go, I get there, I order my breakfast, sit at my desk, I'm there for 8 hours, I get up, get in my car, and go.
Oh, but you can't look me in the eye and tell me a yes queen hasn't slipped out from here.
Oh, are you kidding me? I have a coworker, right, and she sits, my coworker, I'll call her Phil. She sits right next
Come
to
on.
The
Phil.
Not Julia, not, I know, not Janet,
not just Phil. Jessica, Rachel.
No, I'll call her Phil. It's literally is short for her name. So, oh, okay. So she sits right next to me, and we queen out all day long. So I've actually sent Nick videos, and I'm like, hey, I'm like, Phil, do it, do it, do it. And she goes like, yes, queen. And I'll send Nick the video, and it's like, oh my god, you're crazy, Tommy. You got your own like literally coworkers like yes queening all over the place.
See, I am the opposite. Like there's Charnel you hear in the podcast. There's Charnel you hear today. Is the same Charnel you hear at work. Like, I don't turn off, and it's so hard.
But it's not that I turn off. It's just that I know that when I get to work, I don't have time to be extroverted and be crazy. Like, literally, I get to my computer, and that's all I see.
Well, maybe that's probably your role, though. Like, I'm allowed to be outspoken because it helps me get my job done a little bit faster. And I wanted to say, when we were talking about how men should be running when you go in the bathroom, I have a coworker who I'm very attracted to. And he's very tall. He's like 6'6", and he's smart, and he's sweet, and he's got this salt and pepper thing going on.
Oh, those
are
I'm
going to call him Tom because it's very close to his name. And by accident one day, like, you know, when you're in the bathroom alone, you're a little bit more loose and willy-nilly, and he was at the urinal, and I walked in silently because I guess I'm a ninja, and I just kind of slid in, and he kind of turned around without zipping up all the way, and it was just kind of there for everyone to see or me to see. And we had been friends. We had like talked about comic books. And ever since then, he's never been the same. And I feel terrible about it. And I think it's because he knows I'm gay. So now when he sees me, he's like, hey, how's it going? Darts. Takes off. So
well,
that,
he now knows
shitty.
That you know what he has.
But he's so sweet. Like,
I would text him. I'd be like, well, I've seen
I'd
it.
Be like,
you want to see it?
Yeah, really? Right. It's like, come on.
Let
I've
me know.
Him. I said
fair
hey,
trade,
Tom. I almost said his name.
Fair trade, Bobby.
I was just saying, are we okay? Did I do something? He goes, oh, no, you know, I've just been distracted with work. And I'm like, are you been distracted with work or distracted with the fact that I know that you got less than what you thought?
Oh, shit.
Oh, now we just called him out. Now he's got a reason to him.
Maybe he's embarrassed.
But he's so, and, you
but
know
he
what?
Could be a grower.
But this is, but
true.
This is the thing
that
about,
is true.
This is the thing about straight men that pisses me off, though. And we've all probably said it at some point in the time we've been out, is that, like, I'm not actively looking to fuck everything that has a penis and legs or whatever. Like, I saw your penis, yes, but I also played basketball. I saw a lot of penises mm-hmm. in my day. Like, it's I was not jumping on them and looking to choke on every single one I saw. Like, I'm looking at you. That Oops, was
the, I fell. Thank you.
If he wasn't right, if he wasn't so fucking tall, like, it would have been fine. I would have missed it. If he was Nick's height, well, how tall are you? You're like
5'10".
5'10". Yeah. So
if he was, I'm 5'. I'm like barely 5'10".
So if he was like 5'6", I would have missed it.
He probably would have missed it anyway, just saying.
It's just like with...
I'm sorry.
It's like when guys say that, like, do you think every fucking straight woman just wants... That looks at you just wants to immediately
fuck you?
They actually
do think that, though. That's
the problem. See, that's why you got to call them out right
you
away.
You owe me some veg, bitch. That's exactly what they're thinking. And when you say no, it's all like, oh, the friend zone. I'm such a nice guy. Why don't you want me? Because I don't owe you pussy.
Exactly.
That's why.
Thank you.
My favorites and are the preach. Ones that slut shame the girls that don't want them. They're like, oh, you stupid bitch or whatever. She probably gets laid all the time.
Just, that's just say a lot
and
about
you. Don't.
Like, exactly.
I give it up except for you, Jacob. Maybe you need to check yourself.
Who's Jacob?
That's a okay. So there's always
oh shit.
I'm kidding.
There is a Jacob, and that's why he was in my mind. But it's like a 2012 story. I'll share it after another time.
Okay. So where does what about your friends? How do you go through the process of talking about what you guys want to talk about episode by episode? Is there a process? Is there like a work in progress? Like, for example, do you bounce ideas off each other or do you just go with the flow?
Well, I think the first episode, we didn't have any kind of structure. We didn't have an outline. But then I think afterwards, we're like, okay, we got to have some kind of structure. We can't just, you know, come on and just talk about nonsense. So me and Charnel go back and forth. I do the even number episodes.
I do odds.
He does the odd ones. And so it'll just be like our topics. And I mean, granted, we talk about whatever. We segue all the time, but the topical conversations are usually, we go back and forth. So this past week, tomorrow's episode was mine. And we had one of my good friends. His name's Avery Luke. He's a lead singer of a band called Forget Tomorrow. Don't want to plug them too much.
Slay,
here.
Though. Their new single's a bop. I'm not even
there. Their new single's really good. But
Nick is already Googling.
But music. But yeah, no, that was my idea because Avery's also from where we're from in Waterbury. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was nice to have somebody, you know, in our town, you know, to also promote stuff and also be a part of the conversations that we have, mm-hmm. you know, weekly. And it was, I can say it's probably my favorite episode. So I hope everybody tunes in for that tomorrow.
That's awesome. So tell us how to our guests, if they needed to find your podcast, where can they find it and where should they go? Is there a website? Do you have Facebook page? Do you have Twitter? Give them everything they need to look you up and shake you down.
This is Charnel's job.
I love doing this.
And it's like tag out.
If you've heard any of the last like six episodes when Frankie steps on my toes, I'm like, what are you doing? Let me have this one moment.
I try to do it. I'm like, you guys can catch us. He's like, wait.
One episode I almost right cursed now. Him out. I said, what is this?
Like, this is my thing.
No, if you want to find us.
Oh, he brings out the Trish voice. He brings out the Trish voice.
Last time I was here, I tried to go sexy. I don't know if it'll work. He's like, if you want to find us.
The following senators.
If I only can find senator, shit.
Wait. Let me give me some love.
No, I was like, I need something else. Can I get Pray You Catch Me by Beyonce? Can you throw that up?
That's not sexy.
It's not sexy, but it'll give me a good background.
It's sad.
I did realize, since you mentioned a singer, Adele is great.
Don't do me.
What not just here. Happened? What just happened?
We were supposed to literally promote our show.
No, stop it. Because I know what he's talking about. If you're talking about what I think you're talking about, are you talking about the episode where I went off and called Adele overrated?
No, Chris doesn't listen to podcasts. So
that's not true.
What?
He does occasionally. Oh, okay. That's but not true. As committed.
Okay. Oh, I thought you
committed about. Sounds worse.
What he's talking
committed
about
sounds
is
like I uncommitted.
Every time he goes into a really deep, like, drunk depression moment. Say,
this is about alcoholism,
he
right?
Downloads an Adele album.
No, I don't.
You said you did it last night. So
I did. I downloaded
you
Adele's
you wasted,
25. Yeah,
so
that's basically what he's talking about.
But I wasn't depressed. I was.
You were something.
I was like, Adele's good. I was downloading this album.
That's okay. Exactly
thought,
how it happened.
I thought you were coming for me because I had a whole album about how, you know, Beyonce deserved the Grammy for Album of the Year.
She did, but even Adele admitted that shit.
But true. I really want to know, it's like, so how can we find you or our listeners find you or your podcast?
www.beyonce.com.
That's his question now.
You can find us. No, if you want to find us, we do not have a website, but we do have a Facebook. It's www.facebook.com.
Two Ws.
Three Ws. Bitch, I always forget that.
He literally said that on the line.
I say it on
the
show.
I called you out on that one.
It's www.facebook.com. Fuck you, Chris. / What about your friends? All right. If you want to find us on Twitter, it's at WAYF_podcast. Don't do me.
On the Twitter.
On the Twitter, please. If you want to find us on Instagram, it's WAYF podcast. If you like us, if you think we're better than Chris, I fucking hate you.
I'm literally
right now, right now. Me and you are we're enemies. You don't want an enemy out of me. I'm petty.
I'm petty. It sounds scary to be
petty as fuck.
Across you.
I know, and I know where you guys hang out. So this is it. I know where you work. This is dangerous.
This is how bee stings feel.
I work at 168 York Street Cafe.
You know what it is? It's the beehive. You poke the beehive without even thinking you did it, and now it's like.
Yeah. Your Instagram's gonna flood up with bee emojis.
Yeah.
But if you want to find us, if you want to listen to us, you can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and on Stitcher.
And I highly recommend everybody listen.
Please
and
do it. Please
I
do
have
it.
A kind of a random story just because you used beehive as analogy.
When I was a Boy Scout, we had this. Yeah, right. Great way to start. No, this is good.
We all, for the Wilderness Survival Badge,
That's what they call it.
Were you a Boy Scout?
I was a Boy Scout.
Ah, okay, perfect. So we're on the same page.
What is happening right now?
Oh, they're friends again. Oh, thank shit. God.
Okay. So I worked at a camp. I worked at
they made
Webster.
Up.
Okay. Do you know Camp Webster?
I do not.
Do you know
I was in Reading.
Ah, okay. So I was working at this camp, and for the Wilderness Survival Badge, one of the things you have to do is you have to build yourself a shelter and sleep outside overnight. And
oh, hell
have
no.
Very minimal material. Oh, yeah.
Nick
so,
said no.
So I'm
die.
Making myself a lean-to, and I'm digging. Is that not a word? Is that a word, Nick? Is that okay to be a word? We're going to call it a word. A lean-to, yeah, it's a word.
All words are made
so,
up.
Yeah, so exactly. So I'm digging, and I finally, you know, make my shelter, and I lay down to test it out, and all of a sudden, I start getting the fuck stunned out of me. There was an underground bee's nest that I was dug into, so I just
that's
broke
exactly
into their
what
home.
Just happened just now.
Exactly. So that's like
you said Adele's
you.
An amazing singer, and I was like, you know what?
Did they give you a sympathy badge? Like,
no.
Did you get the badge?
No,
that was poor choice. That you should have canvassed the area better.
You will not.
So
I know it clearly was poor choices.
But, yes,
Chris, you will not survive in the wilderness. But you'll
I,
be the first
I got
go.
My badge.
I will say this though. Adele is an amazing singer.
Thank you.
But, okay, wait
but,
a minute.
But before you let those bees out, only because I do love Adele, and I know that you love Beyonce. So before you go anywhere, I want you to tell us what about Beyonce is that gets you so amazingly like involved in her creative process. Tell us about your love for Beyonce.
She was in Pink Panther.
Forget about that.
Stop it, Chris.
The best thing about her.
That did not happen.
I think that your love for Beyonce deserves airtime. Talk to us about your love for Beyonce, why you love her so much. He's like, wait a minute, I got to get ready for this. No, really, what? I love Beyonce. I fucking love everything that woman has ever done since day one, since Destiny's Child, since she was in that little house. Well, it wasn't little. Down in Texas, practicing in her little basement and doing shows for her family. I loved her then because she was crazy. So tell me what it is that inspires you so much about Beyonce.
So first of all, I will say this just to preface and contextualize because I know people listening, they're white gays love Adele. And I'm sorry, y'all, but it's true. I love Adele too.
Misery.
Misery.
Cut me every time I hear one of her songs. Just that.
No, okay, I was like, the movie, Kathy Bates? Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I love Kathy Bates.
Literally, knock me up upside the knees with a fucking hammer. Do it.
It's your ankles, girl. No, Adele's amazing. I'm not going to take anything away from her. And I said it on my show. If you guys want to hear how I feel, it was Twisted Tea Out of Lemonade. I think it was episode 20.
Yes.
plugs. No, I think Adele's a great singer. I think that... Thank you.
Sorry, I really didn't feel that burp.
That's all
up.
I need. I don't even go further than that. So anyway, Beyonce.
Exactly. I was going to say that wasn't my question.
I know, but you said that Adele's she is a great singer, but she has been consistently singing the same three notes for the last 8 years. That's all I'm saying.
But they're amazing.
Yeah, they are. But she can't modulate. The point is that this is the point.
I want to get them going, which is why I'm...
I know you're doing it, and I hate people that do this because I'll grab at...
Don't hate
get
me, don't hate me.
When it's Beyonce, I will grab at low-hanging fruit.
and they hang low, all right, baby. No,
but no, so Beyonce, the thing about Beyonce is not only, like, I didn't get into Beyonce until I was a freshman in college, and I was, like, at a heightened place of, like, suggestibility. I don't know why, but I listened to B-Day. And I heard her Dangerously in Love, like Crazy in Love and Baby Boy and Naughty Girl and all the things that make you feel sexy. And B-Day was just fun and upbeat. And I was like, I know, I'm a college freshman. I'm the first one in my family to go to college. These are all the things that make me happy. And I watched a Beyonce DVD called The Beyonce Experience. And it was an experience. And you should have it.
I have it.
Make the Chris thing, watch it.
The thing about
why does that have to go to me? Are you assuming I haven't seen it?
You haven't.
Yes.
I totally haven't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the thing I love
three
about Beyonce. So the thing
we
I
have
really
a point
do,
system now.
Yes. Well, I hope so. Adele gets 5. B gets 10. So the thing about Beyonce for me is that there are very few people on this planet, I think, who find exactly what they're supposed to do
and do it
in this world. And some very few people have it. Like, you look at people like Beyonce, like Michael Jackson, Justin Timberlake. I guess Madonna would fall into that because, you know, she has people watch her. I'm a bad gay, so we're not going to get into that because I might get attacked. But
see,
I'm
terrible. I love Donna Summer.
Yeah, Donna Summer's another one of them. It's people who you watch them on stage, you watch them perform, and you know what? You're like, you're doing exactly what God put you on this earth to do. And you can see it. You love it. You're great at it. And that's why I appreciate Beyonce. Not only can Beyonce perform, but she is a phenomenal singer. I used to be a singer. So, like, there are parts of her, like, technique and things that I can appreciate. Beyonce has incredible range.
She has versatility. Like, she can modulate. And that's why I think when I think about Adele is that Adele has been singing the same consistent three notes over the same chords. But she, like, she hasn't really grown. She hasn't changed, like, how she sings or what she sings. She goes low and then belts these big notes and comes back. It's the same thing. But every time Beyonce comes through in another album, the sound has changed. The technique has changed. The theme of the album is different. So, like, I can appreciate her growth as an artist.
See, I appreciate Adele's willingness to just say, I don't need to change to be like everybody else. I'm just going to sing what I want to sing and still be successful
at it. She's great at what she does.
That's what I appreciate from Adele. Beyonce, of course, she wants to change it up every time. She wants to be a chameleon. Madonna does that very well.
A chameleon, because don't you ever put Beyonce and Madonna in the same thing.
Well, I mean, when you look at how they change...
Not so much a chameleon, but there again, I will say growth. Madonna in her early years was very much the same as Beyonce, where you came up and you were doing great things, and you were changing the sound of your music, you were experimenting because you're you and you could do whatever the fuck you want.
I'm about to get hated on right now.
No, give me a second.
I hate Madonna.
That's fine, but give me 5 seconds to finish that thought.
Right now.
And so, like, but I will say Madonna became a chameleon in 2006. When did Hard Candy come out? When that 4 minutes with JT came out, when it stopped sounding like Madonna and started sounding like these other pop girls out here, that's chameleon-esque. That's what happened.
Bitch, I'm Madonna.
Right. First of all, the fact that half those cameos were Skyped in pissed me off. I'm not going to talk about that. The point is that Beyonce has grown as an artist, and I can appreciate that. And Beyonce, I think every gay needs a queen, and I've always referenced Beyonce as like Black gays Madonna, because we appreciate good shit. And not saying
no, she is great though.
But like that's it. So when I see Beyonce and I see her being great, and most of it is me having to defend her because people who don't like her music, instead of just saying don't really care about her as an artist, they say things like, "Well, she can't sing or she's overrated." Which is not a damn thing about Beyonce. That's
bullshit.
Exactly.
Overexposed. Yes.
This is the gayest conversation I've been a part of, and I'm one of the co-hosts of Gay Talk 2.0.
I'm ready to fight people over Beyonce.
I know. Which is why I wanted to make sure that you
thank you for
put that out there, because yes. I think people it's
very
important.
Passionate.
It is very important to know what it is that drives you. Your passion artistically.
Beyonce, cheese, and Jesus are the three things that keep me going.
And
cheese.
So we've got two for one. I don't know about Jesus in the house, but
can we name the episode that you guys don't name your episodes, but Beezus Cheez-It sounds perfect. Do you?
You can name it.
It always says like someone with someone. I need it to be like Beezus Cheez-It with What About Your Friend?
Beezus Cheez-It.
Beezus Cheez-It.
I haven't published the episode. Beezus Cheez-It. You're gonna have to write that one out.
Beyeus Cheez-It. Like Cheez-Its, like little squares, with little cheese crackers.
We'll have to take that on.
I apologize. We weren't left with this.
We so fucking went off.
We blame Chris for this. I blame Chris.
I'm gonna say I think that was perfect because
he knew what he was doing though. He was like, Adele is a great singer. Like, it looks dead at Charnel.
I know exactly. I'm holding my notes in front of me. I'm like, yeah.
It's like it's Morphid time. Beehive member.
I just bought us 10 more minutes.
So now, yes, queen. So now that Charnel has gotten his, did I say that right?
You did.
Charnel. You can call me something. Find me a nickname.
So now it's time for Frankie. Frankie. So you come into this craziness. You talk about, you know, doing the show. You guys get together. And how do you feel that you fit into this whole dynamic? Where do you, from what angle do you come from?
Shut up, got real close to me real quick. Like, don't fuck this up.
Don't shade me in your response.
You know what? It's kind of funny actually, because growing up, I've had similar experiences, you know, to Charnel, but I've also had similar experiences when it comes to race and being kind of on the outside of things, looking in and not really understanding things and having to be corrected a lot of the times because I just was misinformed or I wasn't educated enough. And that's what Charnel, that's what he provides sometimes as a friend. And I used to have, I never really had issues with race until I want to say a couple years ago. I had a situation, won't go too far into it, but I was out taking pictures with one of my friends who's also a photographer. And this guy comes over, he's like, did you guys do the graffiti on those walls? And we're like, we have cameras in our hands, not spray cans. Mm-hmm. And there's like, oh, I just saw a black kid and a Puerto Rican kid, so I figured you guys were up to no good. And
you just came out and said that.
He said
just
that.
Like
we
that.
We were literally like in public. There was a main street right next to us. We weren't in like trespassing or in an abandoned building or anything like that. We were just literally in public. And he pulled over. I think he had like a pickup truck or something. And he just pulled over and said that to us. So, you know, I've never had those kind of feelings before. Not, you know, being being of, you know, Latino descent. I grew up around a whole bunch of, he gets so, he chuckles.
Saw it right away.
He chuckles every time I put on the accent.
But, they do the same thing to me.
Oh, so I'll see, well, I'm not alone.
Yeah, whenever I turn around and be like, Latino, they'd be like, oh, dude, you know, he accentuates his Latino.
I've actually never said that. Just,
I have proof. It's recorded.
Oh, shit.
I didn't say it at
You're
all.
You're on the record, Chris. You can't lie it's about not, this. You can't be Trump and get away with it.
Exactly, right?
Bitch, we live now.
Sorry,
who was it?
Sorry,
called,
continue, Frank. Sorry.
I'm gonna find that episode.
But no, growing up, I had a bunch of people. I grew up with a bunch of Latinos and a bunch of Black guys. So not Black guys, Black families, and you know, so my experiences were kind of like, okay, you know, I live in this town, and you know, that's pretty much all I see. But then growing up, I started seeing more situations happen where I saw some of my friends being mistreated because of their race. And I never understood it until I got older. I used to think, like, I guess how a lot of people think these days, where it's like, well, they had to be doing something wrong. You know, they had to, you know, they're doing this. It's not always because of that. But until it started happening to, you know, to my friends and some of my family members and even me, you know, that kind of changed the way I saw things internally. And it just kind of made me, it also made me want to really be a part of this podcast for the sake of putting that conversation out there. Like, it doesn't necessarily happen. It doesn't have to happen to you for you to actually care about it and for you to speak on it. So that's, and I think we talk about that a lot. Go ahead, Sharna.
I was gonna say, like, what about your friends?
Yeah. No.
And I just wanted to say that because Frankie said it beautifully. Thank you, Francisco.
Oh, thank you so much.
Hates my
username. Oh my god! Oh, now we know his government.
Is your name Francisco?
It is.
Oh, yeah. That's so much better. Okay, so me, I love it.
First of all, me and Frankie dated, and I don't know if anybody knows
what?
That.
You said that in the last podcast.
Yes, we did. And so when we dated, I loved calling him Francisco because it was. I told all my friends his name was Francisco because I thought it was the sexiest thing in the world. And he's like, my name is Frankie. And I'm like, does it sound like that? And so whenever I was mad at Frankie, everyone would be like, oh, is it Francisco? I'm like, yes, it is.
I still have yet to meet that person.
And you don't need to because they still don't like you. It's been 10 years.
Oh, shit. A lot of people don't like me, guys.
But no, but the one of the main reasons I asked Frankie to be part of the podcast is just what all the things he says. He kind of came late to the woke game. I don't know
if the woke party.
That. Yeah, but Frankie and I know each other intimately. As I just said, we dated, so we've known each other on so many different levels. And not only that, but Frankie is a creative. He's a photographer. He likes art. He has an eye for different things. He sees things differently than I do. I come from this very kind of educated. Like, I wouldn't say you're not educated.
I know. I was going to say. Chris saw me.
The face right. You made was the face I made in my head. I'm like, what?
He's like, oh, bitch, what you won't do.
Like, right. I'm just here with my camera. I just take pictures.
What it is that I've read, obviously, like, I've read up on a lot of things, and my blackness has informed a lot of my life. So I've reacted to things as a black man before I've reacted as a gay man or as just a man. Most of the time, I find myself saying, oh, is it because I'm black? Because it can't be anything else. But with Frankie, like, I come from this very cerebral place. It's very, like, I overanalyze and overthink things. Frankie comes from this more visceral, like, emotional place. And so he adds the other side of me. Have you ever watched SVU, where you watch, like, Stabler and Benson, where Stabler's like, I need to fuck them up. And Benson's like, no, we need to hug them. Like, no, seriously, but that, like, dynamic works. And that's what Frankie is my Benson. Like, because I'm ready to curse people out and let you know you're wrong. Frankie's like, well, you know what? Maybe they didn't mean it like that. I'm like, thanks for giving me pause because I would have went to prison. Benson. Like, that's really what Frankie does for me. And he adds that different, the same lens, but from a different scope at the podcast. And that's why I love having him.
Thank you so much for that comparison. But I think, didn't Benson get, like, kidnapped and, like, tortured and potentially, well, like, raped and, like.
Well, you know what? She did all those. Well, Benson, first of all, Benson is a success story. Benson is a child of rape. And she's not her circumstances. She is a strong woman who did well for herself and is looking out for the people who are suffering the same fate as she did. But the point is that everyone loves Benson. Stabler's been gone for 5 years and no one's been asking questions. Right? So people miss people will miss Olivia. People cared when Olivia got kidnapped. So you should think that an honor.
No one's gonna give a damn if I get kidnapped. They're gonna be fucking, they're gonna have a surprise. They're gonna have a party at my job. They're gonna be like, oh, he's gone.
But you're forgetting your radical ass, angry ass friend that's sitting next to you that will come looking for you. And you better hope I don't find
you. You will look for me, but at the same time, you'll be like, well, I gotta have somebody on the show. I gotta have somebody be the Frankie.
He will totally be your Huck.
Oh,
Oh yeah, you know what? I'm about that life, and it's very real. I make sure everyone knows that. Like, I'm one of those people who stand by what I say, and I'm very protective of my friends because they are mine.
That's right.
It's like, I love them to death, and what you won't do is take anything from me without my consent. So I love you with a very special love.
Oh,
and
I love you too.
And that's on sweet. That lovely note, because oh my god, that was. Why can't you guys talk about me that way? Because
they don't like you like we like each other.
we love you, Tom.
Can I ask one more question? Do we have time
for
one more?
Go for it.
One more. Okay. So, Nick and Tom and our listeners, for those of you who don't know, Chanel's black.
Again, guys.
Chanel.
I said
he's not a cologne.
She's hearing cursive too.
Charnel.
I said Charnel.
And I'm very much like a mocha mahogany. I don't know what.
That's
kind of,
what I was thinking, like a mahogany. Exactly.
Kind of, he's very dark. I'm like, what you won't do is try to paint me as asphalt. Like, it's not. and there's actually nothing wrong with being different shades of brown at
all. There's different shades of asphalt.
No, what?
Yes,
what?
There is.
There's aged asphalt that's outside.
Aged asphalt.
But there is not fresh asphalt as black as night. The point is that you can be as brown as you want, but I'm just saying my skin tone is not that black. And if the lights went off, you would still see me.
It's
That is true.
I heard that, and I have to correct you because that's low key.
But it's not a correction. It was just me saying that's how I see you.
No, we're friends. I'm letting you know that
you're
we're
dark.
Friends.
That's actually a common misconception, by the way. That's a common misconception, by the way.
What?
If you really want to camouflage something in the night, you don't paint it black because you can see the outside. The outlines. Pink is. There are countries' militaries that will actually paint some of their tanks pink, and it's virtually impossible to spot.
I appreciate
it.
That.
Name a country.
Germany. Israel.
Okay.
I believe that. But what I was saying was, I like you, Tommy.
Oh, I love you, baby.
I want you to know I like you, and because I like you is why I was saying that, is that when you say things like, you're so black, if you turn the lights off, it's low-key racist. And that's And that's the only reason I said it, because
it's a low-key joke, and I love you.
And because of our segue,
okay, so we can't do it now. I have to say it, sweetie, because we're friends. I love you guys. So there, just for the listeners, me and Tommy are going to be fine after this. I don't care.
Yeah,
but I'm
are.
Just saying.
Yeah,
so anybody else who's listening to this who thinks it's okay to say things like that to people you don't like, I want you to know that your intention means absolutely fucking nothing. Your impact means everything. You can intend to be funny, but if I don't find it funny, it's not funny.
Exactly.
So I laughed at it because Tommy's hilarious, but. If you say it to your black friend your black coworker at work and think that Jonathan is going to laugh and he smacks you, well, I heard it on Gay Talk. Don't use Tommy as a reference. And I only had to say it because we're live and this is going on the interwebs, and
We talked about this on the show as well, about having these kind of conversations with people of color and how to behave, especially in the workplace.
And other people of color. So, like, I'm not going to let you put that on me in front of white folks. I'm sorry. That's just, not that's what that is.
Just whisper.
And on that note, with that segue, I'm not even going to ask my question. I'm just going to leave it be like, so you're black, right? And then
what was the
leave
question?
It there.
I'm sorry.
No, just, I don't even want to ask anymore. Well, Tommy, move aside.
I was just going to say, just whisper vodka, vodka, vodka.
That was a better segue anyway.
Oh, I'm Tommy, sorry. If I ruined anything.
No, not at all.
So did you have a question?
No, we're
Please
fine.
Ask.
We'll save it. We'll
Please
save
ask.
It. Okay, fine. I'll go ahead and
what
ask
What other black
it.
Person are you going
to
ask?
Better not be
about
Adele.
Well, that's why I'm actually... I could probably ask him. So when I was growing up, I had this family that moved in next to us, and it was actually the first time an adult called me a bitch. I said...
That's shocking.
I called them African American, and she said, bitch, we weren't from Africa. We're black. So...
Ooh.
Wait, I had this conversation with my mom.
What is your thoughts on that? Is it offensive if someone calls you black, or is it offensive if someone calls you African American?
Do I get 2 minutes? Can I get a minute and a half?
A minute and a half.
Give me a minute. I'll take it. Okay.
Go for it. Go for it.
So there are a lot of black people who like the term black. I'll take black because that's not progeny because it's descendants, but my history is kind of skewed. I know my great-grandparents were slaves, so I know it's kind of lost in the mythos or whatever, but there are a lot of people who are from the islands, like the Caribbeans, Haitian, Jamaican,
where they were from,
right, who don't exactly, and that's what I thought, who don't see themselves as black, because if you see yourself as a black American, as an African American, as the U.S. has coded it, then you see them as someone who's attached to slavery and all the things and all the diaspora from Africa, yada yada yada, that comes with that, and all the baggage. Mm-hmm. And not only all the baggage, but then white folks are going to see you as someone who is angry and unhappy with the state of affairs, and they're going to think you ungrateful or unappreciative. So there's a lot of words and feelings that come along with that. But there are a lot of black people, too, who think that white folks who say African American
or who, because they're afraid to say black, really want to say something else. But that's not true either. Mm. I answer to anything. And it's not like gender identity where you want to ask their pronouns. But if you use the word black and they say, I'm not black, it's okay to be like, okay, what do you want to be called? Are you like, I'm Jamaican. You're still black. But you can still... But you could say, because black is one of those umbrella terms, just like queer is. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you may be Haitian, you may be Jamaican, but in the very antiquated way that my grandma used to say it, when she's from Mississippi, like deep south, she'd say, if you're not us, you're them. So it's, you're black. So it's like, that's really what people are going to see. So I would just ask, like, if you're Haitian, I will call you Haitian if that makes you feel comfortable, because I want to kind of mend this bridge. But it's a weird line to walk. So don't feel bad because you called them African American.
Well, I was like 7 years old and I was trying to be like a good little good neighbor.
Good for you for being polite and trying to be PC.
I can't wait until it's like 300 years into the future and we finally fucking realize we should all just call each other fucking humans.
Wait.
Seriously.
No, what?
300 years from now, when all this shit plays out and we finally
realize we should all just be fucking called humans and talk about a future, okay?
Humans.
You're right. I will not live to see that day. But
neither
that's,
will I.
But that's exactly why I do the work I do and I start the conversations that I do, because I would love for someone, whether it be the little gay kids, little black kids, Hispanic kids, Asian kids, whatever, straight kids in the future, to just see someone as human and respect their humanity right away and protect them like they protect themselves. So you're absolutely right. I would love to see that. I won't. I know that at some point in the future that the world will be a better place.
It's good to imagine that that would exist at some point.
Right. That's why I like superheroes.
Yes, queens. And hopefully they wear a cape and a skirt or something and boots and really fierce, like, mascara, makeup, and all that good stuff.
I was hoping for just spandex and a shield.
I was going to say, don't superheroes all wear...
Don't take Trisha's Wonder Woman outfit.
Well, that's why I was going to Wonder Woman, because I fucking love her, too.
What, Charnel?
DC is trash.
Oh, shit.
Marvel superhero.
You cannot take Wonder Woman from me.
Wonder Woman's fabulous. No, Wonder Woman's amazing. I think it's been too damn long. She should have had a movie 5 years ago.
I saw the trailer for that.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I don't like superheroes at all. But I will go see that movie.
She has what?
I have Trish spinning as Wonder Woman.
I send it back to the group every 2 months.
Do not take Wonder Woman.
When we go off
air,
I need to see this.
Oh, it's the Bendit.
So, speaking of off air, we do need to wrap up the show. So we're going to go through some announcements and wrap up the show. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Again, we are live coming to you from our radio station at digitalstreamradio.com. I love saying that now. Yes, I'm not speaking cursive. So let's jump into some announcements. If you love the show, head on over to iTunes and rate us and leave us a review. This allows our podcast to become more visible within the Apple and iTunes ecosystem. For more information on how you can support the show, you can head on over to our website, which is gaytalk20.com, under the Support the Show tab. There you'll find ways to help out. Subscribers can do many things to help us. So just make sure that you go check us out and help us.
Sounds good.
We love you.
And next week, we welcome Summer Orlando back to the show to give us the juicy details on her upcoming production of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. We will dish with her and the cast on this iconic 80s cult classic.
Yes, queen.
Yavol.
All right. I'm back. So thank you to our guests, Charnel and Frankie. It's been amazing having you on. Please check out their podcast. We love it. We love you guys. For more information on them and their show, guys... Plug away.
Run down again.
So Frankie takes it, right?
No, not this time.
I just want to throw something out there. I love poking you and watching you go. Go. What?
You like poking me?
I love poking you, like saying stuff to you and then just watching you go.
That's not nice, though.
That being said,
you get my
plug
blood pressure
show.
Up, Daddy.
Anyway, sometimes it's healthy.
Sometimes. 30 minutes a day. So if you want to find us on Facebook, you can find us at www.facebook.com/whataboutyourfriends. You can find us on Twitter at WAYF_podcast, on Instagram at WAYF podcast. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Just search What About Your Friends.
Yes, queen. Thank you so much. Can I say one more thing before we go into our closing plugs?
As usual. Go ahead.
I just want to say that we didn't have a chance to bring up the YouTube censoring, and it's going on right now where LGBTQ videos are being censored on YouTube, and this is one completely bullshit. So like people like Michael Buckley will go onto their page and say 32 or 45 of his videos won't be available. Now, my thing is, it's the parents' job to set up the parental controls. If you are so afraid for your children to see LGBTQ shit, don't let them on the fucking internet, because it's bullshit that we have to, again, be censored or hide in any fucking way.
As we're inappropriate people.
As we're just sharing our stories.
Mm-hmm.
You choose to watch the stories. You can choose not to watch the stories, and your parents can block them. That being said, that's where I'm going to leave it. Everybody should look into it and just read it. All right? Thank you.
Chris?
Okay. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces.
Thank you, baby.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20, or you can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
You can also contact us by visiting our website, where you can leave a comment and or a suggestion. You can submit a question for the cast and or an individual host. You can also leave us a message via voicemail to the cast or an individual person, whichever one you want to leave a message for, by calling 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need all the numbers because you got one of those, how is it that guy said, old phones, vinyl phones? That's what it was. 334-429-8255 is our number. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget that you can tune into our show live stream every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at digitalstreamradio.com. That is our show. I want to thank everyone for tuning in, and y'all have a good night.
Bye. Bye.
Suggestions.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.